Good evening. It's good to see all your faces out here on a brisk, cool Sunday evening. And tonight we're going to kind of do a flip-flop from what we did this morning. I hope that it inspired you this morning to see those children. Oftentimes we forget that our congregation is growing and we have some amazing young people. We have babies on the way. And the toddler Bible hour was filled with kids this morning. And so we are so blessed to have the children we have. And I really hope, and I wanted you to encourage them, but I want you to do that as individual as well. I want you to reach out to them and to make a difference in their lives. And I know many of you do that. Many of you serve in that capacity. And tonight I want to talk about ageless beauty. I'm going to be talking about all of us that are sitting in this room tonight. Some of us have hair color that covers up some gray that's there. Joe's over here just laughing. But let me tell you what, there is beauty in aging. And I think oftentimes because of the ravages of the effects of this world on us, we maybe get discouraged as we get older. You know, we have things that happen where we don't get around as good as we used to. I'm finding it more difficult to put my socks on. I try to bend over in the morning and I just don't bend as far as I used to. Maybe that means I need to get out and do more exercise and stretch a little bit. But yeah, I run into that problem and I'm thinking, this can't be. I've got to be able to get my socks on. But we get older. I came across a quote, and I thought it was just a really beautiful quote. I don't know who the person is. It was just a quote that I found, and I just thought it was good. The lady's name is Donna Lynn Hope. I thought it was interesting that her last name is Hope. But listen to this quote. You, I don't seek it through another because I have it within. That's what I was talking about this morning. We are still kids inside. We still have those memories of being a child and have that. There's a feeling that you get and there's an excitement when we remember. And I don't want you to be discouraged because you get old, but I want to continue with what she says. It's a state of mind, a spirit that is free, a mind that is playful. The shell of my being altered by the effects of time, is altered by the effects of time, but nothing will tarnish a soul that will never forget what it is like to experience creation with endless wonder and appreciation. Each time I see the first snowfall of the season, I feel it's the first time I've seen it all. That wonder of having a child in these bodies that don't do what they used to do. It can be frustrating. Attitudes towards aging in general and toward elderly people in particular are especially important for us as Christians. The Bible teaches that old age is a blessing of God. And I hope tonight when you go away, you'll understand that you'll have your heart wrapped around that. Old age may be the fruition of a moral life and an indication of God's favor. Deuteronomy 5:33 says this, follow the whole instruction the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live, so that you may prosper and have a long life in the land you will possess. We see the men through the scriptures over and over again. They lived a long life in the Lord and they lived a life that was righteous. Genesis, and here's some examples. In Genesis 25, verse 8, in reference to Abraham, he took his last breath and died at a ripe old age, and old and contented. I love it that it says that. Are you content? Contentment is so important. Let me tell you what, young people, they don't know exactly how to be content in this world. But have you found contentment in the plan that God has laid out for your life up until this point? Or do you find yourself wondering and questioning and not feeling good about the life you've lived? It's not what God wants for you. He wants you to be able to find contentment. But I love that he says this about Abraham. Old and contented, and he was gathered to his people. In 1 Chronicles 29, verses 26 and 28, David, son of Jesse, died at a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. I want that written about me, that I lived that kind of life, and that if God blesses me with years ahead, that I live to be old and contented. Job. We know the story of Job. We know the pain that he struggled through, and he lost all of his children. And his wife wasn't exactly encouraging to him. And he wondered why God was doing all those things to him. And even in the very end, we see Job. And even God said that he was a righteous man, that there was none like him on the face of the earth. And he didn't ever curse God. But God did say to him, "Who is this who darkens my counsel with words without wisdom?" I said that to Job. But then in the end, after Job hears God speak of him, his glory, Job says, "I shut my mouth. I repent in dust and ashes." Job had a change to make even within himself because of what God had shared with him. But Job died old and full of days. God blessed him with even more than he had at the beginning. In the Bible, the aged are perceived as resourceful people with valuable gifts. I see that here every week. Every week I see many of you running around the building doing things and working, and I see Jim running that truck back and forth to the food pantry, and I went with him one day, and that's work. Oftentimes I've seen you working and doing more labors than young people do. And, you know, that's a witness to them. That is a witness to them that we don't stop. We don't quit working for the Lord. I'll talk about it later. We never should retire from the service to God's kingdom. We can be resourceful, and we have gifts to give to the people around us. Wisdom is one of those things that we can pass on. And you are people that have sought wisdom. You are people that have searched the Scriptures. And we go to the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, and then I'm going to read 15 and 16. And I see this happiness in many of you, this contentment with what God has given you. And he says, "Happy is a man who finds wisdom, who acquires understanding. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left, riches and honor." And I'm not sure Solomon was talking about wealth. I think he's talking about the richness that I see in my sister Jo. The faith that she's lived, the life that she's lived to honor her God. I see that in many of you. I look in your faces and I see this wealth and this treasure, and it's to be honored. Proverbs 9, 10, and 11. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Those are things that you can pass on when you model those things in front of the rest of the church. In front of these young families who are struggling with the kids and dragging one here and there, and you go over and you encourage them and you help them when they are struggling, instead of going, "Ooh, watch out for that one." You reach over and say, "Can I help?" Man, that makes such a huge difference in their life. I see our ladies that work with these young babies, and they're passing on their wisdom to them. And you see the kids running down the hall, and even though it's hard to pick them up, they do. But these kids, and they put them in their arms, just like Jesus would have done. And you make a difference in this body with all, you know, I wish there were more here tonight. But you don't underestimate how God is using you. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by wisdom, your days will be many and years will be added to your life. That's because you are living a fruitful life. I see a lot of wisdom right here as I look around this room. And I see righteousness. And I see a few gray hairs. Maybe more than a few. I look at my head in the mirror and I'm going, yeah, it's all gray. Just in all the blacks, just about gone. But as the scriptures say, in two different Proverbs I'm going to here, and I know I'm jumping around, but Proverbs 16:31 says this, gray hair is a crown of splendor. You think of it that way? You think of it as a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. And in Proverbs 20, verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength. Gray hair is the splendor of the old. You think about it. I want you to kind of change your thinking. If this, you're not thinking about it that way, I want you to change your thinking. I want you to think about this is the prime of your life. It's not the end. In some ways, it's the beginning. But oftentimes I think weariness gets us down. We get tired. We get worn out. God chose to portray His awesome majesty to the prophet Daniel and to the apostle John by describing the Ancient of Days with hair, what? As white as wool. To Daniel 7:9 and Revelation 1:14. So you need to be delighted if white hair comes your way. Our creative and sustaining God is content to picture spiritual maturity that way. That's the way He portrays it. If white or gray hair represents accumulated godly wisdom, you wear a badge of honor. You wear a badge of honor. How we live is important. And if we live a righteous life before God, we will be blessed with an abundant life in the Spirit. And again, I go to the fact that oftentimes we do struggle here. You do have pain. Your bodies do things to you that aren't kind. But let me tell you what, when in your spirit you are free, you are truly free. And I think that's what we forget. I think that's where we lose track. We forget that it's not about the things that happen to us here. It's not about the pain of this life. It's about the glory that's yet to be revealed to us. Love what Alan said this morning. We're at the kids' table right now, but soon we will be at the big table. And we're just advancing towards that kind of glory. I love that image of sitting at the table with the Lord and taking it in the kingdom of heaven. Powerful, powerful statement. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15 say this. And he's talking to Israel. He says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will still bear fruit in old age. Last week we talked about fruitless tree. Talked about the fig tree. You are still bearing fruit. I love what he says. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Is that what you proclaim? Is that what you say? Is that what you tell your kids and your grandkids? Let me tell you what. You know who's my rock? The Lord is my rock. He is upright. He is the one you turn to when trouble comes. He will sustain you. Because the Lord is my rock and strength, we are capable of bearing fruit even as old as we get. I think of people like the Crawfords and Maybelle Stout. I mean, I remember Ophel. And I go back way as far as Malcolm Hall. Even to the day that he almost died, he was out mowing yards. And I'll never forget those days with him because I had a lot of mentors and he was one of them. Fountain E. Davis taking us out in his truck, old beat up truck, and the deer had come running. And he always was making spiritual applications to them. Let me tell you what, those men bore fruit till the day they died. And you can, and we should be bearing that kind of fruit. As long as we can speak, we can bear fruit. But sometimes even our actions speak louder than words. I love it that 1 Peter talks, and he's talking to a woman whose husband may not be a Christian and may not be in the Lord. And he says in 1 Peter, and I think it's in chapter 3, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just kind of referencing it. But he says, you can win them over without words by your behavior. You can act like the women of the Scriptures. Sometimes it's just our actions. It's just what we do in front of people that can bear fruit. It doesn't have to be words. And I see that happening here. I see that fruit being born in this place. God, in speaking to the descendants of Jacob, says this in Isaiah, through Isaiah, he says in verse 46, verses 3 and 4, listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you who I have upheld since your birth and have carried you since you were born. I want you to think about the fact that God is doing that with us as well. He says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and rescue you. That's our God. That's the God who loves us. That's the God whom we serve. I believe this statement still holds true in Christ today. He made us, He sustains us, He carries us, and He rescues us, even to our old age. God will always be God, and we will be His children, regardless of how old we get. This is the message I wanted to leave with you today. This is what I want you to remember, that God is who He says He is, and you can still bear fruit. You're not done yet. You're not finished. There are people here that need to see your faith. And whether you walk with a cane or a walker, or you're in a wheelchair, you can make a difference for God's purpose and God's glory, no matter how bad you feel. I think of Millie. She's still substitute teaching. When she goes out, she's making a difference in those kids' lives. You're not finished yet. This is why I believe Leviticus says what it says. I used the scripture last week, Leviticus 19:32. Stand up in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. And when we do that, we revere God. I am the Lord. Some of us are younger and some of us are older. We need to show respect and honor. And I guarantee you that's what I'm going to teach. That's what I want these young families to know, is that they're to revere. And there is a wealth of spiritual blessings that can be gained by spending time. I would love it if you would invite some young folks into your home and just be with them so they can drink that knowledge in. Some of you do that. But some of us, sometimes we just get so tired. And our bodies are so weary that we don't think that we can make a difference. You make a difference. Don't ever forget that. Do you, like Solomon, consider your gray hair a crown of splendor? We should, and we should never think that those who have aged, let me say that again, we should think that way. And we should never think that those who are aged, and we all are aging, are diminished in their ability to serve God. We should never think that way. We can retire from our jobs, but we are never to retire from serving our Most High God. There's no our retirement plan is once we're gone. That's when our job is finished. We are to serve Him and honor Him all the days of our life. Some of the greatest workers and servants of the Lord are right here in the end. And they wear that crown of gray. It is a badge of honor. And I want you to remember that. And I want you to know that I thank God for each of you who haven't retired from serving the mighty God. You continue to be witnesses of the hope that Christ gave you. Please don't stop serving the Lord. Don't become weary in doing good. Because God will use you for His purpose to make a difference. Don't feel like there needs to be an invitation to the obedience to the gospel, because I look around this room and you have all been obedient to the gospel of Christ. And for that I thank God, and that's a witness too. And I hope you will never forget your childlike spirit that God calls you to be. But I also don't want you to forget that age is a blessing. It is a blessing from God. Would you bow with me this week? Father, thank you for the lives that are represented in this room, for the faith and for the years of faith that are represented here. Father, for the lives that have been touched by this group of people, by those that have been won to the gospel, by their faithfulness. And Father, we realize we are not done yet. There is more for us to do. Mm-hmm. We are to continue to live for you. And Father, help us to be fruitful. Help us to bear fruit until the day we die, so that you will be honored and glorified. Thank you for this church family. I ask a blessing on it, and help us to reach out to those who don't know you, who need to know Jesus. Give us words to say and how to say them, so that we might touch the lives of those around us with the hope of the gospel. And thank you, Father, for giving us a family such as these. But most of all, thank you for a Savior who is willing to have His life cut short so that we could have forgiveness of sin, so that we could be set free from the bondage of slavery of sin. We praise you, Father, for what you've done and for what you will continue to do in our lives. And we lift our lives to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you have a name, please come. Always stand in.